Hey, I'm Dean.
And I'm Derek, and welcome to Under Your Roof
and in your backyard.
Damn it, you know.
Seriously, this is becoming a running joke
now.
No,
it's not. It's not funny anymore. You and I constantly talk about this, and you keep forgetting your role in this opening.
So I just say, hey, Dean.
Pretty much.
Okay, give the name of the show. Just give the name of the show.
Listen, we're talking about permeability today. And by the way, if you don't know who we are, you're going to know pretty soon. We're dysfunctional cousins. Him much more dysfunctional than me. Where were we, Dean? What was our experience?
I don't know, but the name of the show is Under Your Roof and in Your Backyard. You didn't finish it.
I did finish it.
You did.
You were not listening as usual.
Okay.
So listen, we were on DIY Network for about 7 years, 200 episodes. We did a lot of work with PBS, Victory Gardens, and here we are on the radio. So if you need to reach us with any questions, contact us at deanandderek.com.
And Facebook,
Dean and Derek. And
Twitter.
Dean and Derek. Just look it up. I mean, it's why is he first? That's the question.
Height.
All right, permeability. All right, Dean, describe permeability. Come on. What?
Can we do a different show?
Why?
Because all our topics, when you say today we're talking about permeability.
Yeah.
There's nothing, like some guy driving in the road, he's switching right now.
So, all right, listen, Joe, don't switch the channel, Joe. Because listen, it's not that it's all about permeability. You're going to learn something about what it takes to work with family.
Okay? Exactly.
Right. And you're probably, Joe, working with family right now that you don't like. You don't like them.
And Joe, if you're a member of our family, you're large, you swell, you need to learn how to drain. And permeability is a big thing. We're going to drain you, Joe. You're not going to bloat anymore, especially in high humidity.
All right, listen, folks, just to let you know, this is the last of the heat wave up here in the Boston area. And we must have sweat. Like, we were working with pavers today in the demo area at Plymouth Quarries.
Yes.
Where we work as managers. And that's in Hingham. And
you might ask, why are we outside doing pavers when
on a 100-degree day,
right? Helping to run a large quarry? Mm-hmm. Well, we're building the outdoor displays.
Yes.
And no one else will do it. So that's why we're doing it.
Actually, that's not true. The truth of the matter is we're control freaks.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, that's true. You know, and we know what we want to show. But anyway, I just remember looking down at those pavers today, and I was sweating over every single one of them.
It was kind of gross.
It was disgusting.
It was.
It was pea soup.
But here we are in a
the
nice
studio.
Cool studio.
Tony's got the air conditioning on.
Surrounded by leather couches.
I've got my iced coffee.
And I screwed up again with my Dunkin' Donuts. That's a problem.
Yep.
You know, let's get serious. Permeability.
Yes.
Where we live, it's becoming a big thing, especially on oceanfront communities.
Which there are a lot of.
On
the East Coast, there's no question.
So a lot of towns, no matter whether you're building a driveway, a walkway,
patio,
you don't even have to be on the water. They want to spec that your patio, driveway, or walkway is permeable. So what does that mean? What we're trying to do is not have a lot of runoff from our property into the sewer system.
Right. What it's doing is it's bringing water back into the ground, and a true permeable project lets that water get filtrated through the different layers of sizes of aggregate back in, and it purifies it. Because just because it's rainwater doesn't necessarily mean it's clean.
True.
Right?
True.
But also, there's a lot of facts about permeability. And here's what something you talked about, you know, a new home being installed and built and all that on a coastline property, mm-hmm. right?
Yep.
Conservation will tell you that so much percentage of any of your paving has to be permeable.
Yes, you know what the good thing is? You don't have to pick a side.
No.
There are some people who are green and you know what I mean?
They, yep.
What was that thing? Like Sheryl Crow talked about using one sheet of toilet paper to save.
That was very helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's never seen anyone in our family and our buttocks. Right? So that would not work. We wouldn't be on her side. But you don't have to pick a side whether you're green or not green.
Oh my gosh.
Right?
Why? Because, why would you connect that to
because
this?
Because it just came. You know how my mind works?
No, I don't.
It just came out.
I don't want to know how it works.
Because everything today is a debate.
Yes.
Pick a side.
All right.
Well, permeable, some people are like, I don't care about permeable. But you know what the advantage is? it's a good thing.
It is a
right?
good thing. It is.
I'm going to go to the extreme. You spend a lot of money on stone, and there are certain stones that are having issues now because the installers don't understand how to set the base and how to set the stone. And you invest all this money in a beautiful stone patio,
yep.
and it starts to flake. And it's really not the stone's fault. It's
the
base.
It's the water.
Right.
It's the fact that it's not draining. Yes.
So wouldn't you though want to have a concrete paver patio or driveway or stone patio that drains water really well?
But I don't think that we're making it clear as to the importance of permeability. I mean, right now, facts are that you can purify up to 80% of annual rainfall. If you have a permeable area, 80% of the rainfall that will hit that area normally would normally go into runoff, right?
Into the sewer system.
Into storm drains and all that.
Yeah.
But with the permeable system, it'll filtrate and go with that. That's huge. Now, remember when we were doing an episode out in California?
Yes.
Remember the big Rice Krispie treats?
Yes. Definitely weren't perfected.
No. We were working with the product that our producers shoved us to work with. They know who they are.
Dirty.
That was
dirty.
Bad. We terrible. Didn't want to do it.
Terrible.
We didn't want because the
food was great out there, though.
Food was that sushi night.
Yeah,
$750.
Big mistake.
That was a big mistake.
Use their credit card.
Don't give us a credit card.
Yep.
And so, but we were in San Francisco. Everything's very expensive in San Francisco. But this product was new to the market, and they had some things to figure out. No question. But it was an interesting product. So imagine, folks, like a Rice Krispie treat that had kind of cocoa pebble puff look to it, right?
Yeah.
And it was an aggregate with a epoxy,
mm-hmm.
and it was thick. So the water, remember we did that, we just put some above on a table and, you know, they were suspended and the water, the bucket of water, 5 gallons went right through it.
Yes.
So it worked. And in California, they give you a credit on your water bill
mm-hmm.
if you're bringing water back into the environment because water is an issue in certain areas. But the pavers were not.
No.
They weren't right. Because they hadn't figured out how the pattern went together and we had to figure out. But anyway, what that was really interesting. I thought, what a smart idea for the state to do that.
Yeah.
Right? Because if there's any way that we can bring water back into the... Like right now, we need water. I mean, it's kind of dry here.
Well, I live in a town. All our water is well water.
Right.
We don't have a reservoir.
Right.
So that's important for right. us, you know?
Mm.
And so the specifics of it, here's the rub with permeability. Every town specs different things.
Okay,
right?
True.
The right. other thing is they leave it up to the contractor because depending on your soil, it dictates how deep you go.
Right.
The layers are probably the same of the different aggregates, crushed stone you use,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of wide open. There's not one set thing about permeable.
No, but there is a window, right? I mean, and anybody out there that's into the environment and wants to do what's good in their property, I mean, I find this stuff kind of fascinating. So because of the subgrade that you're talking about, mm-hmm. whether it's rocky, we call it cocoa powder because it gets really soft.
Silty soil.
Silty yeah. soil, all that. Are you going to be somewhere between 12 inches and 18 inches of different grades of aggregate on a permeable system
mm-hmm.
on top of a filter, you know, the geo grid. Right. Textile fabric.
So that's a soil stabilization
yeah.
Material that you put
right.
underneath everything.
But you know, you're a minimum of 12 inches. There's no
right.
question.
So we can really make this episode like watching paint dry.
I don't think that's possible.
No, but it is when
because,
you start talking about subgrades.
No,
and
I don't
layers.
Think it's possible because you're such an idiot. Like you just say things that are like I don't know. Like I get concerned.
Like how?
Like your family's concerned sometimes.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up.
Because your wife calls me and she's like, Derek?
Exactly.
Yes.
I tried to tell her, don't listen to these shows because my wife has made me a better man.
She has.
But she also can't stand me.
Right.
When I start talking about certain personal things,
mm-hmm.
what's her line?
Which one?
You have children.
Yes.
And I don't think, I haven't gotten any hate mail or anything
not
that
yet.
Says I've offended anyone.
Not yet.
And honestly, that's the, we're not shock jocks.
No,
we're not even close. I don't want to offend people, but like, I just say what comes to my head.
Right.
Which is a curse which I've lost a lot of friends and relationships over.
Right. You have no friends.
At this stage of my life.
You have no friends. You know that. Right?
At this stage of my life, I'm not going to change. I can't change.
No, you're not.
Right?
But I don't think that it's going to be like paint drying. Plus, I think that this stuff is very interesting. Now,
okay.
If someone's not interested in permeability, oh, like Joe. Joe's maybe going to be already flipped the channel, whatever. It's like, okay, that's fine. But if you're into paving and you're in the industry and you're a concrete paver manufacturer, which, by the way, have they changed?
No.
They've changed a lot.
What do you mean?
Concrete pavers and permeability. Remember the ugly ones that first came out?
Oh, I thought you, Yes, pavers themselves, yes.
The first permeable pavers were like these things that were like octagons.
Awful.
And they had an
Awful.
Opening, and they're still out there, but they're very, all of them were industrial. They were industrial looking. Now, they're beautiful.
Well, here's the key.
You can get a beautiful paver.
Here's the key about this. Mm. There are some products like asphalt material, concrete, that actually are permeable.
There's a porous asphalt that you can use, and that'll bring water back through. Yes, absolutely.
So here's the mistake people make.
What's that?
They think when you say, I'm going to make my concrete paver patio or driveway permeable, they think it's the paver. It's not the paver, it's the joint.
It's the joint.
So the good news is you can make pretty much any product permeable.
If it has a space.
The joint.
Right? The joint. We got to make that clear, because with concrete products, most of them are made these days with a spacer within the mold of the product. So that means, folks, that it separates the paver from the next paver.
You don't have to guess what the joint is. It makes the joint.
But, you know, there's a lot of brick that we use. They don't have them.
Nope.
So you and I get tile spacers, and we put them in as we go. And that way we know that we can allow for a joint quarter inch, maybe up to a half inch, mainly a quarter inch. And we can put in either the quarter inch chip seal or the quarter inch. We can get the epoxy aggregates in there, which is a really neat product.
So I'm going to take
the flip
side.
We'll talk about that later. Yes, go ahead.
Joe came back in.
Did he?
Yeah.
All right.
And he's like, I don't care about permeability, but I'm going to talk Joe into going with permeability. You know why?
Why?
Because if Joe's spending a lot of money to make his wife happy, to do a stone patio and investing in that kind of money, you know what? Making it permeable will save a lot of issues for him down the road. For example, if he uses a sedimentary stone, like
a blue stone,
right? That's
thermal blue stone,
right? He's going to protect that stone from not flaking over time.
Which has been a major issue within that product right
If he's using a product like I have in my backyard, travertine, they tend to have really tight joints.
Okay, well, what about... Go ahead.
My patio every year, and I did a great base.
You did.
It heaves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I didn't know when I walked out my backyard in the wintertime when I was shoveling and saw all of a sudden sections of my patio up 8 or 9 inches, I'd be like freaking out saying my whole patio just moved up. And now when it thaws, it's all going to have a big gully.
Right.
Well, it drops naturally back to where it belongs because I have such a great base. But you wouldn't have any heaving with your patio if it was permeable in the winter.
Permeability does get rid of any heaving
And why
issues.
Is that?
Well, that's because of the drainage. The drainage is so thick and so thorough that the water has no place to sit. You have in your base, I remember your base, you have some stone dust within that mix of that subgrade. And that's why, again, we've talked about this. Stone dust is always, the water sits there with it.
It doesn't drain.
Whether it's full stone dust or even within some crushed stone product. But the other thing, too, is we keep talking about concrete pavers and even asphalt, but synthetic grass,
which we sell, that's starting to really, really do well.
Right. And you know, any of you landscapers out there, or anybody out there trying to solve a grass problem, how much water do you waste trying to keep your grass healthy?
Once again, I'll go back to my town.
Yep.
It kind of bothers me a little.
Yeah.
Because in Massachusetts, you're lucky 3 or 4 months of grass and you have to water the heck out of it, to put tons of chemicals on it. And guess what? I drink well water. Where do all those chemicals that are seeping in the soil eventually end up?
Well, that's why you're leaking.
Exactly.
That whole leaking issue for you is...
The last episode we talked
about your testosterone. It's
exactly.
Leaking.
It's because my neighbors have green grass.
Green grass.
Right. Now, we're talking about the permeable artificial grass.
Yep.
It looks pretty damn good. We sell Garden Mark. Great grass,
that
permeable.
Great grass. That Garden Mark product actually has, and check this out, folks, it actually has a dead thatched synthetic grass within the green grass, so it looks so realistic.
It looks pretty darn close
it's
to real. Warranted, permeable. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to put it out by my pizza.
But then when it comes to the synthetic grass, Dean, this is the thing. Okay, so you want to do natural grass, and you want to put a lot of water into the environment. You know, you've got chemicals. A lot of people have gone natural with all that. So the chemical thing has changed within growing your grass. Mm-hmm. To me, it's the water bill, because I'm on, you know, MWRA in Weymouth here. So I'm part of cleaning up the Boston Harbor. So my water bill is higher than your water bill. Yeah. You know that. And it's like, I don't put a sprinkler system in. I'm not doing it. I'm not out there watering with a sprinkler or anything. If I was going to do anything, I would do the synthetic grass, invest in that, because already the water's coming back into the environment right away, right? You think about it. It's already investing in the environment, and it's investing in the longevity of the value of your home.
Right.
And it looks fantastic. But that's, you know, so you have the synthetic grass, you have the porous asphalt, you even have some pervious concrete that works. You have concrete pavers that are options. But as you and I were saying, you can use brick and stone, flagging. You can use anything as long as there's a space.
And it's going to cost you a little more money.
It's about 50.
More prep.
Well, if you're doing that true 12 to 18 inches of base, yeah, because it has to be done with certain aggregates, like each base has a different size.
Layer.
Yep. You know, you've got a 3-inch, you've got an inch and a half, and then you have a half inch, right, over that 12 to 18 inches. So that all has to be done properly. That has to be compacted properly. The GeoGrid isn't cheap. And really, it comes out to be almost 40 to 50% more.
Right. But it's worth it, because you're not going to have a lot of issues that other base materials will have over time.
Not at all.
The interesting thing to me is that the companies that are in our business, paving companies and things like that, they're starting to catch on.
Okay.
Because our problem was in the beginning when we started doing this and we started talking about doing it on the TV shows or in our business, we didn't have a lot of options with product.
No.
Right? And for installers that aren't up on this, you have to be very educated on what your environment is, where, because everyone's backyard or everyone's driveway is different.
Right.
Right? So one of the things that you have to understand is, if you're in a wet land, if you have a backyard that's got a lot of water, swampy and stuff.
Exactly.
So you start doing this permeable patio, you have to understand that what you're doing now, when you, because crushed stone is a magnet for water.
It is.
French drains, dry wells, everybody, some people have had issues with basements getting water. So someone comes in and does a dry well to redirect the water to crushed stone and, you know, piping and all that stuff. So what you're doing in a wetland area is, when you open up a big patio pit and put crushed stone, you're sucking all the water from all around you in.
And you're changing that water table.
Exactly.
Right. And you know, some yards that we've worked in over the years around the country, some of those water tables are pretty high.
Yes.
There's a lot of houses that we've been at where there's sump pumps.
Which, you know, I know people have them, but they have generators, direct connect generators, natural gas generators.
Right.
Because if their sump pump stops working, within an hour or two, their basement's getting flooded.
Right. So if you have a property that's like that, folks, and you have to do permeability, then it's more work around that.
Yeah, because you have to direct the water. You have to take away in consideration the other water around it. Right. But there are ways to do it. So really, it's about education, especially for the installers, because it is, you know, other parts of the country, this is old hat.
Right.
But in other sections of the country, this is starting to catch on. And, you know, there's no exact way to do it. You have to understand the basic principles.
There's basic principles. There's layers.
Right.
Right. But the thickness of those layers depends on what the conditions are of the project.
Right.
Right. But by the way, one more thing about permeable pavers here, as far as where you can use them, any type of permeability, it is not highly recommended for a high traffic area. It's not. And that's something that causes some grief for people.
Why is that?
Well, why does it cause grief?
No, why is it not recommended for a high traffic area?
Because the majority of permeable products are not that thick for that type of a commercial traffic area.
So you're talking commercial traffic vehicles?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, but I mean, you know, a driveway, you're okay. But you, as you and I have always said, when you're doing a driveway, go extra thick with that top layer. Like, there are products, there are concrete products with all the manufacturers that we deal with, you know, Unilock, Cambridge, Teco, all these guys. They all have products that fall into the requirement of a driveway for residential application. Mm-hmm. But we all know that they have thicker products, like anywhere from a 60mm to an 80mm. Go with the 80 for that. But even for a residential area, I would do it.
More cost, right?
It would be more cost, but that way you're guaranteed you're not going to have an issue.
So rule of thumb for something like that, the longer and wider the paver, the weaker it is. So you have to go thicker.
Yes.
So there are certain pavers that
they
are made.
They call them slabs.
Right.
They call them slab
They're pattern
materials.
Designed to mimic stone.
Right.
Great for your patio or walkway. Not so great when because everything's based on pounds per square. Now we're getting really technical. But it is something to think
PSI.
About. Everything's
PSI.
Pounds per square inch.
Yep.
And the wider the paver at like
you
two
know,
and a quarter,
we're
it's not
pounds per
strong.
Square inch too, Dean.
We're a lot
per
of pounds per square inch.
You know, when you and I are trying to concrete and compact an area and we don't have our hand compactor and our gas compactor, what do?
We jump up and down.
We jump up and down. Don't you remember that? Do you remember when we had the producers of the first show, Rock Solid, and they had us jumping up and down in that first promo? And we're like, why are you asking us to do this?
Yes.
They're like, well, we came to your job site and that's what you guys are doing. Like,
and it definitely wasn't like an episode of Baywatch where you encourage certain actors to
jump up
and down.
And down.
We weren't the ones you wanted to jump up and down.
But you're thinking about it, like, okay, this is a 200 pound plus concentrated area where we can compact this area. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's one thing I want to bring we touched on the base.
You're
in,
stumbling.
In
why are you stumbling?
Because like I'm trying to get all this information in.
You're not a technical person.
No,
and
I'm
you're
not.
Getting very very technical here.
But
you're
here,
getting
here's I, the one thing
okay,
I don't like about
go
I don't like about the permeable pavers
what?
Until we discovered other products. I don't like what the joining material was.
Well,
the
joining. Okay, so again. The space between the paver or, well, that's the joining material because you wouldn't have any joining material for synthetic grass.
No.
You wouldn't have it for a porous asphalt.
No.
And you wouldn't have it for a pervious concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So the joining material, folks, is for anything that's in the concrete paver world. That goes in that joint, that space, once again, between each piece of
and
concrete paver.
80% of the time, what is it?
It was usually a loose stone. It was
flaky
like,
stone.
Yeah, it was what we call
looked like breakfast cereal.
Yeah, it was like small. It's small. It's quarter inch. We have quarter inch now, which is really nice. What's so great about that stone? Because you buy it in the tonnage, you can screed with that.
Yeah,
you know, like under those pavers, it really because it's so tiny, it just screeds beautiful, almost like a bigger sand.
Right.
But also, there is chip stone that's bigger than quarter inch too. Because there's some spaces that are
so
bigger
here,
than that.
And it serves the purpose and it works.
Well,
it's
just
in
so
your budget.
We'll get technical here. The chip stone is like, it's sharp. It's got it's not rounded.
No.
It's not like a rice stone. You know that beautiful rice stone? It's got a sharp edge to it, so it locks in together. That's,
it looks like breakfast cereal.
It does, but that's the theory. But we've seen a lot of permeable patios over the years or walkways or driveways where it's just all over the place.
Now, here's where customers get frustrated.
Yeah.
You get a couple of days of heavy rain,
yep.
And your patio has all flake stone spread on it.
Right.
It doesn't stay in the joints. You have kids with sneakers. You know, the sneakers have the groove, right. So they run around the patio, and then they drag the stone into the house.
Right.
So that is a frustrating part of permeability.
It can be. It can be, yes.
So we've discovered other products.
Yeah, we have.
That cost money.
Yeah.
We used a lot of them. When we did the TV show.
Oh, and by the way, when you're on this subject, we might as well say it right now. I mean, I'll let you get to your point, but we have to say this. Polymeric sand is not a permeable filler.
You've just offended every polymeric sand manufacturer.
But it's the truth.
We just lost that advertising that we're working on.
But it's the truth because, you know, polymetric sand actually, as everybody says it. But it's the truth because how many guys even out in the field today, how many girls and guys out there are telling us, oh, I'll just do polymeric sand? And like, no, it's not permeable.
No.
Water will not go through
it. And the manufacturers will tell you that.
Right.
They're not claiming that
no.
It is, but a lot of...
It's people
who aren't educated about it.
It's an ignorance
about
it. And sometimes people will just sweep in sand. And then that gets all over the place too, right? Or stone dust.
So
too.
The big thing in our field, and it's been around for a little bit, is epoxies.
Yes.
Not epoxies, epoxies.
Epoxy, right. E-P-O-X-Y.
And we used a lot of them. We had an A and B epoxy that we used to use on the show with our buddy Tal down in Florida. And you do a two-part epoxy.
He doesn't
epoxy.
Talk to you anymore, does he? He talks to me, but what happened?
No.
You don't want to go there? You always talk about personal things, but something happened between you two.
It happened when he came to visit us in Vegas.
Yeah.
And his wife and I decided to drink tequila. And he didn't drink tequila. Not in a bad way. I don't mean that.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but then certain stories of him came out.
Yeah.
Because you were with us, too. You were having fun.
I had fun, but I didn't.
And then he blamed me for certain stories coming up.
Okay, all I can tell you this is when you guys first met, when we did the episode in Florida, I was in the car with Joyce Pearson, our first producer, and you were in the truck with him. And Joyce said, because you two got along so great, she said, I don't know what's going on here, but I got the present for their wedding. And I thought to myself, my cousin's
Cal is a great guy, yeah. And he really taught us a lot about this.
No, so you guys are good friends.
The two-part epoxy, the A and B, mixed with silica sand.
And we would mix that in a drum mixer.
With water.
With the silica sand that came in bags. And a silica sand is a very, it's a small grain sand. Mm-hmm. It's a very specific type of sand, lighter in color.
So we'd have the wider joints. We'd pour that right on the paving and squeegee it in the joints,
right,
making sure that none of it stuck on the paving.
True.
And what happened after it cured was you could literally take a 5-gallon bucket of water,
yes,
and pour it, and it was like a vacuum cleaner under your paint. That's the one thing about permeable.
Yeah.
Even if you don't understand all the basics and stuff, but if you see like
when
heavy,
you see
heavy
that, it's
rain
cool
in your backyard,
totally, right,
and nothing's puddling or anything, and all the water's getting sucked down your driveway or your patio,
right,
there's something really cool about that.
Of course there's something cool about that, because I mean, is you know, in the years that you and I have been walking on this earth, we've seen a lot of issues with water.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, Johnny Zompanti used to say, the world is going to have wars over water coming up in our lifetime.
It's true.
That's what he says. I mean, look at everything that's happened with water, from bottled water to Poland Spring started years ago for us as kids. Everything, you know, where are you getting your clean water? What's happened with the filtration of water? Where are people having their reservoirs? All that stuff. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, right. I think it's cool because it's like you taking some responsibility and doing something in your little postcard, you know, stamp property.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, okay, at least here I can do something.
So here's the great thing about the epoxy with the sand.
Yep.
That lasts a long time.
Well,
I have my driveway.
Yes, you do.
10 years old? 12 years old?
Oh, boy, dude. No,
more?
No. Yeah, you're older
more
than that. Yeah.
We did a PBS
show. Look in the mirror.
Okay,
it's a lot older than that, buddy. It's a lot
anyway,
older than that.
Anyway, I have few joints that I have to patch, but overall, and my driveway gets a lot of traffic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's lasted. It's solid. It dries almost like a concrete.
It's lasted. Is that right? Oh, go ahead. Keep going.
Why? It's like every freaking
it lasts. I don't know.
It's lasted.
It doesn't sound right. It's like it's lasted. It lasted.
It's lasted.
It lasts. How's that? It lasts.
It's anyway, been here for a long time.
There we
time,
go. That's
okay?
Good. There we are.
You of all people telling me how to speak.
Anyway, but
it does, right?
There are some epoxy products that are out there.
Well,
right
the new
now.
Ones now.
The new ones that are out there.
Air activated. So you don't have to do what we did.
It's already mixed for you.
It's mixed in a vacuum sealed
bag. Yep.
Once you open it and the air gets at it,
yep,
it starts to cure.
And the
so you have to work with it. You have to spray your pavers with water. On a hot, sunny day like today, if you did it on dry pavers, you're going to have a problem really quick.
Well, the beauty is that you can add water to it.
Yes.
See? Polymeric sand, you can't do that. But see, polymeric sand is not a permeable thing.
Right.
But the whole thing with this epoxy is you add water to squeegee it around and push it around and then to fan it off and use it with the broom and the squeegee. So to me, adding water to the silica epoxy mix is unbelievable.
So I use that product. I power washed my brick walkway. I used that product this weekend.
Well, I'm going to be doing that, not because you did it, by
of course,
the way.
I'm the leader and you follow.
No, I do not.
Like I said, height,
I was already
height,
planning on doing
height,
this. Actually, you know, when we sit on these stools, we're the same height, okay? Don't push it. I told you I was going to fix my aprons at my house.
You should. They look disgusting.
They look disgusting.
There's weeds growing
know,
all. How
terrible.
Can you come home and do that every
I'm
day?
I'm tired. I have no time.
I don't care. That like, I have that neurosis.
I know.
If I have a leaking faucet or something, I can't sleep at night.
I know. But there are several things you let go at your house.
Okay.
We're not going to talk about that. But I told you I was going to pull up my brick aprons
and power wash the joints.
And I want to do it with the epoxy and stuff. And you were like, yeah, I'm going to take it actually up to get all the, and then re-space it. I want to space it a little wider for the epoxy.
I have to say, I did it. The brick was hot. I had to keep it wet.
Yeah.
But after it dried, the next day, it looks awesome.
So you took my idea, but so you got it done first because your area is much smaller than my area.
No,
because
I get things done. That's the difference.
You're such a liar, dude. I get things done so well.
And you know what else I did with the epoxy?
What'd you do?
And this is where we'll probably do this on the display at the quarries.
Yeah.
I did my stepping stone, the Heartland Ocean Floor Stone that go to the back of my shed and my garden by my pizza oven. I did those joints in it. And then in between where it goes off to the corner of my shed, I opened up the joints, took decorative stone in between the joints.
I saw that. Like, that was kind of funky.
And I filled them with that epoxy.
Yeah.
It's a really like, it's a Hansel and Gretel look. Hansel and Gretel.
It's like, I don't know what's happening there. It's too easy. I can't even say it.
Say it.
I'm not going to say
Hansel
it. But you know what's funny is that when I saw that in your... I'm not saving you. When I saw that in your backyard, I thought, you tend to over-design things sometimes. You do. But that looked really good.
It did. And you know, it's aged.
Because you've learned simplicity. You have learned simplicity. Yes. When you first started, you had a little bit of that Guido stuff going on.
Of course.
You know, a little
bit
of that.
I got rid of the gold chain.
Yeah, you were like, you know, you always were trying to change elevations and bring in boulders and blah, blah, blah. But it looks really nice. I have to say, your backyard is very Tuscany, as everybody knows.
Exactly.
That's what we love.
But the thing is, too, with that, you got to be honest. I'd say cost-wise... you're about $2 to $3 extra square foot.
So what?
Well, I mean, you do a 1,000 square foot patio.
Yeah.
So what? $2,500, $3,000. That's a
you're
big. So what?
Okay, so you're doing a 1,000 square foot patio. You're already spending what? Anywhere $15,000 to $20,000.
Right.
So in the ratio of what you're doing to deal with a 1,000 square foot patio with loose sand coming up in rainstorms or chip stone that you're not that happy with, to spend another $2,000 or $1,000 on an epoxy, to me that's a no-brainer. I don't know. That's just my thought. You and I never look at numbers anyway, because it's like one of these things. I know people have to do that with certain budgets, but it's like, what do you want? You know, and what are you going to do? You're going to put like the loose sand in there first and then blow it out in 2 years and then put the epoxy in? Because, you know, if you're going to do it right, do it the first time.
Right.
And bite it. That's all I'm saying.
Or cut down your patio and, you know what I mean?
Right.
Sometimes you don't need as big a patio as you think you do.
And look at it. It all comes back to, I mean, permeability is much more than just patios. You and I tend to get caught on that sometimes, you know. And look at folks, if you have any questions on permeability, you can reach us at contactus@deanandderek.com and also on our Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, all under Dean and Derek. But if you saw, a lot of people get nervous about permeability. They get nervous when someone goes, you have to, you know, when the town makes you put in like a percentage of permeability. Well, we need to do 10% of your paving and permeability.
And the question is, where do you go to learn about it?
Well, you know, there's a lot on the internet about that, but we have Nancy Wells, who's at the Plymouth Quarries, and that's her focus. So we've been using, say, Nancy, you lead this. When people are coming here, we want you to educate them, and she helps educate the sales team. You and I delegated that to her because she's really focused on the environmental issues of today. I think a lot of people don't understand permeability, and I think a lot of towns with their inspectors don't really help you out.
No.
You know that. She's hit some roadblocks along the way. So we're like trying to figure out how to have a package for everybody. Like, you and I have a diagram right here that we already know about, but we'll put that up on our social media so people can see it. But you know, if you're out there and the town's telling you, you have to have permeability, I have yet to see someone come into the quarries going, yay, I got permeability. Yay.
Right.
They're all nervous about it. How much more money is this going to cost me? Why is conservation land involved? And we're like, when are you going to make this so easy for you? Don't worry about it. Here are all your products.
By the way, you mentioned I don't talk to our friend Hal anymore. I do talk to our friend Hal.
Okay.
And I am trying to work with him because he is the master at this.
He is.
Coming up with our own product that we can make. And make it...
a joint filler?
Yes. To make it... cost effective.
Am I involved in this, or is this something that you and Tal are working on?
No, I was going to get it down to where
I have.
So
you're telling me about this joint filler on our show?
Yeah.
In front of everybody?
Yep.
You've never talked to me about this before? No. Like, and you think that's cool? Wow. Okay, I've got some things to tell you.
Okay, go ahead. What's wrong with that?
I just think it's funny.
Well, like, you know what? Because I've jumped you, because every time I used to come up with these ideas,
yeah,
you would cut me off
okay,
at the
well,
knees.
Okay, well, first off, you're an idea guy. And every Monday I would pick you up in the dump. By the way, we were in that dump truck 16 years together. You're lucky I didn't kill you, okay? My brother says to me all the time, how did you do it? I said, I don't know.
Coming from him?
Yeah, I know, oh, really. Right. Yeah, exactly. But, you know, I would pick you up in the morning, and then we would drive home at night in that same dump truck. And I miss that dump truck, by the way.
Yeah,
I miss
we
that.
Shouldn't have sold it.
Every Monday you would have an idea. That's right. 52 ideas a year.
Exactly.
For 16 years.
And some of them were pretty good, though.
I'm going to do this right now. 52 ideas a year times 16, okay? So that's 3, 2, 5. You had 828 ideas that you would talk to me about on Monday. You know what was in my head on a Monday? Okay, we've got to finish this job by Wednesday because we have to have this in the bank by Friday, blah, blah, blah. That's, and you always brought in, I stopped listening
right.
to you.
So that's exactly why.
So now you cut me out.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to save you all that angst, obviously. So out of the 800 ideas, I think I'm at 10%. That's pretty good.
You're not at
10%. Albert Einstein was probably at 3%. I'm just saying.
So wait a minute. You're saying you're better than Albert Einstein?
No, I'm just saying my numbers are higher.
Oh, you just
did. I have a higher batting average, that's all.
Oh, my gosh, that's
so sad.
But listen,
honestly,
that's so sad.
I think it is a good thing. And if we can come up with something and it's not crazy money.
What's a good thing?
To come up with, we know it's the basic principles.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And listen, all the epoxy.
You mean for a joint filler product that's affordable to people.
All the epoxies,
yeah.
It's not a secret.
No.
They're all pretty basic.
They're
either polyurethane or water-based, right?
You know, we haven't even talked about that one thing that we did decide to create.
And we're doing that.
Right.
And I have the epoxy in my office.
I've asked you for 6 months to weigh that epoxy out so we can get this done. But here's the idea for
And
us.
I have it at my house, too.
And you know, we're going to share it.
Yeah.
We're going to share this
yeah.
because nobody can take it from us. We've already figured out how to protect mm-hmm. ourselves with this. We want to take the epoxy mix and mix it with decorative aggregate stone, not sharp stone, not crushed stone,
no.
a round stone.
So there is a difference. Why don't you explain the difference? And we'll probably have a show on aggregates.
Well, if you
sounds
to,
boring, but there's a lot to
no,
learn about
aggregates.
There's
a lot to learn. Mikey Driscoll might come on that show,
right.
but you can't give Mikey Driscoll a microphone.
Nope.
If you give Mikey Driscoll a microphone,
exactly.
you're done.
Yes.
You, especially
you. Say we
you.
Don't want to curse on this show?
Yeah.
That
Oof.
Will be blown right out the
out
window.
The water. Anyway, decorative stones tend to be this crushed stones that are decorative stones. Actually, if you want to see some visuals, you can go to PlymouthQuarries.com website, also JF Price Company.
Yeah, we're going to videotape that one. We have to.
Yeah, but the decorative stones, you'll be amazed at some of the color in mm-hmm. those stones. But right now we have a slate gray, and we have a desert brown, and we have a natural that are round. Even the rice stone, it's round.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfectly round, but it's not crushed. So that way, if you're walking on it, it doesn't really hurt your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can feel it, but you can't walk on crushed stone.
No,
like
but
that.
Once we epoxy it, it will hurt your feet, but it will have a benefit. Like you experimented in your backyard, you used the rice stone.
I
used 3/4.
Right.
Mine worked better than yours.
It did. It did. But I have to say, I rushed my base. I did. I rushed my base and I didn't go too thick.
Okay.
So imagine taking a 1/2-inch stone or a 3/4-inch stone that's really got wonderful color to it, folks. You put it in a drum roller with the epoxy and then you pour it and your base is basically very similar to what we just talked about, that 12 to 18 inches of base with different grades of mm-hmm. aggregates. And you dump out of that drum mixer.
After the two-part epoxy mixes
with
the stone.
With stone. And you dump it right into the area and you squeegee it like you screed it, like you would concrete.
Yeah, just use my nice float. My float trowel, tapped it down.
Tap
Simple.
It down and you go at least, I did about 1.5 inches. I think I'd do 3 to 4 inches thick.
I did about 3.
Yeah.
And I had an issue. You know what it helped? Back about 10 years ago, I have an old farmhouse built on ledge. And going into my basement, I was going to do pavers. It was just a mucky, awful
thing. Yeah, I remember
it, yeah. And it was too high. I couldn't do any paver.
Right.
And I wanted it to drain.
Right.
So I did that. And to this day, it's probably 10 years old.
It's older than that. It's older than that.
Okay.
You need to look in the mirror. It's older. It's older than that. Yeah.
I've had slight flaking over the years, But literally, heavy rain, I get no water in my basement anymore. Right. And the rain,
and it's beautiful.
It just sucks it
down. Actually,
it
looks beautiful.
Great.
So imagine seeing a patio, because a lot of people, when they don't have the money to do a patio or a walkway, they just spread stone between cobblestone or something, or the loose stone. Imagine a loose stone look with it's all coagulated like a Rice Krispie treat.
And you know the benefit of that,
the
too?
The water goes right through it.
Yes, we've talked about that. But the other thing, if you have young children, especially boys, and you have decorative stone around your property, boys are automatically attracted to that. They pick up the stone and they throw it around the grass or whatever. Or they throw it at each other.
True. They
when,
can't do
when
that.
When you do that with the epoxy, they can't.
Right.
It almost becomes a sport because you see the frustration of your two-year-old trying to pick up a stone that won't move and they lose their mind. And it's kind of entertaining.
828 ideas. That's all I have to say.
But that was a good one.
Yeah, right there. I'm going to circle.
Was that a good one?
That was a good one, yeah.
And you know what? We did it on one of our shows on the one of the DIY giveaway houses. What's that? What's the blog cabin?
Blog cabin, yeah.
We were on the water in Virginia.
I liked working on those blog cabins.
Yeah, they were fun.
That was the one time of the year where we got to meet other hosts.
Exactly.
We never saw anybody.
No, they didn't let us near.
They didn't let them near us or us near them.
We're like Quasimodos.
Keep them
exactly
off in the bell
just shut
tower.
Up and ring the bell.
If you guys would just shut up and show
so
up.
So what we did, remember what we did with the outdoor fire pit there? We took sand and made this really cool beachy epoxy sand
That's
mix.
That's true.
And it was so cool. It hardened.
Yep.
But when you poured water on it, it was just disappeared. It was
very
cool because we'll we were on the water.
We'll have that at Plymouth Quarries. We'll have that on our website. This is, you know, we're coming up to that area right now in the sunken fire pit outdoor room that we're building right now, right off of the edge of our quarry. It's such a great view, isn't it?
It's going to be a fire pit area with that
stone.
Oh, my
gosh.
And we'll definitely film it. We do tips of the day on things we're doing around the quarries and stuff and try
anybody,
to give you a minute.
Anybody in the South Shore area of south of Boston or even in the Massachusetts, New England area, come on up and take a trip up, you know, and see what we're doing up there.
We're trying. We're trying to do things different.
We are. We are definitely doing things different. There's no question. But that epoxy mix to me, going back, Dean, I would use it everywhere.
I love it.
Why?
I love it.
It lasts longer than any other filler. It looks beautiful, and you're bringing water back into the
environment. And here's the thing. The epoxy before it cures, it's not good for the environment. So if you take like B epoxy and pour it into a lake, not so good.
No.
But if you do the A and B, and after it cures, it doesn't omit, from my understanding, it doesn't omit any chemicals or anything into the environment.
That's a good word for you.
Cures.
Omit.
That was very good.
Yeah, it was very
still
good.
Still can't get the Hansel and Gretel thing. Gretel thing down.
I'm not saving you. I'm not saving you on that one.
I can't.
No,
I think I had a stroke on that
one. Yeah, you can't do
it. But the other thing with these epoxies, a lot of these epoxies are what they use to cover oil pipes underneath the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
Because once the epoxy cures.
Right. And they use it to line water tanks as well.
Right.
So once it cures, there's nothing toxic about it.
Not cheap, you know, and you don't want to go with an inferior product.
No.
And you have to kind of understand the epoxies,
right.
Which we're still learning about. But I think the sky's the limit in our business in masonry, design, hardscaping, with the use of epoxies and aggregates and epoxies and in design with certain things. I really like it.
Guess who I just got a text from?
Who?
Mikey Driscoll.
Oh, you did?
Mikey Driscoll, who will never be on this show because of his language, just sent me a text. Isn't that funny? We were just talking about him.
No, but once again,
what?
You keep mentioning people's name, and Joe, who was getting a little interested in this, is like, who the hell cares about Mikey? I don't know him. Who's Tal? All these people. It's like you throwing out people like people actually know
Tal.
What's in our lives.
You brought up Tal.
No, but that's the thing with this. It's getting too personal.
You're personal.
It's ruining my home life,
yeah,
okay?
Well, that's your
it's
problem.
It's totally ruining my home life.
I have not talked about leaking testosterone or my vasectomy, okay?
That's right there.
But let's focus. Let's go back to permeability, please.
Yep.
All right. We're wrapping it up here. Permeability
is a good thing.
It's a very good thing. It's a very good thing for the environment, for your land.
But for your products, for your design, it's
a
good
thing.
Because a lot of people, when I've dealt with, they buy a house and they want to do a driveway, and they're like, this is stupid. What the heck is permeable? I can't believe blah, blah, blah. Once I explain it to them, they say, you know what?
Well, that makes sense.
That's not bad.
The only thing is you're going to pay more money for it. Make sure that it's properly done, right?
Education, education, education.
We have a lot
before
of answers.
Before you invest,
yes,
educate.
Education. We have all those answers for you. We really do. We spent a lot of time in the last year with Nancy and Plymouth Quarries. So if you have any questions, contact us at deanandderek.com or any of our social media places and platforms, and we'll get that information for
and
you.
And I'm just going to end the show on Hansel and Gretel.
This is under your roof and in your backyard with just Derek.